And we will move on to the eighth case of today. The respondent's name is looking familiar. This is Lynn versus Gonzalez.
Good morning, Your Honor. My name is Peng Tian on behalf of the petitioner in this case. This case involves two major issues. First of all, the judge's decision was based on his credibility finding, but the judge simply the petitioner gave a detailed testimony as to what happened relating to her case, and the judge simply saying what happened was implausible. The law requires the judge to make a credibility determination, but a negative adverse credibility determination has to be supported by a cogent reason. But in this case, the judge did not give any reason as to why what happened as testified by the petitioner was implausible. That's one thing. And also the judge relied on the document saying that's an alleged sworn statement made by the petitioner at the airport. But that document was not signed.
Well, but I mean, the judge looks into this, and that document is entered into evidence, and it's true there's a notation, refused to sign. But there's no question, I think, that this interview occurred, that she gave the answers, and I think the judge is making the finding that this account, despite her decision not to sign it, was more reliable than her later account.
Your Honor.
I mean, just you can't magically erase from the sequence of human history the fact that a certain interview happened by simply saying, I'm not going to sign it. Maybe that casts some doubt on it, that the judge, it's not a judicial admission at that point, but can't the judge take that into account?
Your Honor, the reason that there was no objection raised to the admission of that piece of evidence is that there could be a couple of reasons for the petitioner to refuse to sign the documents. It could be that the questions and answers were repeated to her, and she did not believe that they were true, and the answers represented her answers to the questions, and but the government did not explain and did not present any testimony as to who questioned this petitioner and under what circumstances the conversation was transcribed.
But it seems to me there's an obligation then, when it's proffered at the actual hearing, to explain why it really shouldn't even be admitted as evidence at the hearing. Maybe it was an interpreter who was very bad dealing with the Mandarin language. Maybe it was, as you say, maybe she felt that somebody was just writing up fictional answers. Whatever. I don't know. All I know is that there's no record made other than simply the fact that the man makes the notation refused to sign.
Right, but the petitioner testified that the answers were not her answers, and even she expressed that, how could I answer to that question that way? That's not true. She denied the ever answering the questions in that manner.
But isn't that then a credibility decision that the immigration judge has to make as to which version is he finally going to believe? Is he going to believe the first version at the airport, or is he going to believe her version at... I mean, you can't say he has an obligation to believe every word that comes out of her mouth.
Yeah, that's the... I believe if the judge would like to rely on the document has to be authenticated, and also
Well, it was authenticated. I mean, government...
But it's not reliable, because okay. It says it's your answers, but the petitioner did not sign. And at the testimony, at the hearing, he denied ever made the statement.
But he looked not only at the responses given, but he also looked at her demeanor, the way, the manner in which she answered questions, the way she responded to questions during the hearing, and he found that she was very nervous and she hesitated before some of the questions, and he made the call that, you know, she wasn't credible.
Yeah, that's...
And isn't that what his job is to do, to observe those...
In our brief, we explain the reasons why the judge made a determination and went out of his way to make a determination on that account. immigration hearings, the petitioner or the witnesses testify by means through an interpreter. And I was at the hearing, and there were heated arguments as debates between the judge and counsel, and I don't know how the observation was, how he arrived at the observation, at the conclusion that she was nervous. She had to talk through an interpreter. She had to stop each time. I don't know. We explained the circumstances of hearing in our brief. And also the second issue is the judge went out of his way to find that the petitioner filed an application frivolously. That's filed a frivolous application. But
now, would you agree, though, that if the judge, and I'm not asking you to agree with this part, but supposing in a case that a judge believed that when all was said and done, the truthful answer was, I've come to the United States to get a job so I can send money to my parents, and then the person turned around and filed a petition for asylum, that would be a frivolous petition for asylum. I'm not asking you to concede that that's what she has done, but if that were the case, wouldn't that be a frivolous petition?
There has to be affirmative evidence to establish that that person, the document, the judge relied on, has reliable value, has evidentiary value.
Right, but once a judge is somehow entitled to make that finding, that the real reason a person has come, whether it's an admission or whether, you know, however you get there, was to get a job and send money to your family back in China, then to turn around and file for asylum is to use the process for something it was never intended for. It's a frivolous application.
The assumption is that the judge has solid evidence to support the conclusion that the...
Right. That's the assumption in my question. You would agree that if there were that kind of solid evidence, it would be a frivolous application.
It might be. It may not be. But there might be other... Yeah, during the interviews at the airport, the circumstances, you know, is very different. And the person interviewed could have given different answers to different questions, but only an answer to one question should not be determinative as to the nature of the whole proceeding, though. That's the frivolous. I believe in order to determine that the application was frivolously filed, the government has to present solid evidence, especially a written evidence that that person fabricated some kind of story. But you cannot, based on the judge's feeling. Here, the judge did not give just simply the unsigned statement, and the petitioner repeatedly denied ever making the statements. We have a live person testifying before the judge, but the document is a document saying refused to sign, and we don't know what it is, and it does not bear the petitioner's signature, and she denied ever making the damaging statements, and I believe more is required for finding of frivolousness.
If you want to save some time for rebuttal, you might want to.
Okay. Thank you, Your Honor.
That now, sure. And Mr. Andre again, you're not Mr. Hogan, huh?
May it please the court, Mr. Hogan had a family emergency, so I agreed to appear on his behalf with the court's permission.
Certainly.
One point I want to make right from the outset, counsel suggested it was only one question that in the airport interview that indicated that there was a contradiction between what she said in her immigration court hearing. There were actually several questions in the airport interview. She said she admitted in the airport interview that she lied, and then she also said that the reason for coming to the United States was not to seek asylum, it was to make money and to send home to her parents. She also, one of the questions in the airport interview was that she was testifying, she was swearing, her testimony was sworn, and that she was telling the truth. So in order to invalidate the incriminating, if you will, parts of the airport interview, it would be more than just one question.
This document appears in the form of what looks to be a transcript, as though there was either an audio recording made and the questions and answers transcribed, or an actual stenographer transcribed as they were going along. How did it happen? Do we know?
Well, the procedure is that the immigration officer will take notes about the interview, and then it will be he will summarize the interview, and it will be typed up, and then she's read the summary.
Okay, so these questions appear in some sort of a form, and then she fills in the answers.
Interviewer. No, I think the answer, the questions and the answers are read back to her, and she will acknowledge them. And in this case, of course, she refused to sign it, but the asylum officer testified and attested to the correctness and the accuracy of the questions and answers.
So you did have the asylum officer at the hearing to authenticate this. I had the same impression Judge Sykes did. It looks like a transcript, but you're telling us that no one actually recorded it or otherwise actually did something to make it a real transcript.
No, it's not a verbatim transcript.
Okay.
They do not have a transcriber at the airport taking down every word. This is the actual summary of the proceedings by the asylum immigration officer.
But that took place at the airport once it was typed up. Questions to her about whether she agreed with this. I understand she didn't sign it,
yep.
But that all happened the same day.
Yes.
While she was being detained.
I should qualify that I'm not quite sure it happens actually the same day. But in my assumption is that it's either the same day or very close to the same day. If somebody is detained at the airport, then it's possible that they might not get to review it until the next day or whatever.
And where do they put them in the meantime?
I don't know the answer to that.
It does appear to be the same day. The date of the interview is 7/28/01, and the date that the statement was subscribed and sworn to is, although with the acknowledgement that the petitioner refused to sign, is the same date.
Okay.
Yeah.
Also, a brief point about evidentiary standards and standards of review. With respect to the credibility determination, the adverse credibility determination, the judge in the decision did say that he favored the airport interviewer's recollection and summary over Ms. Lynn's contradictory testimony where she denies saying anything. Even if the judge had not said that, even if the judge had not said, well, I favor one over the other, if the judge had just said, I don't know what to believe, that would still mean that the government prevail in the case, at least on a credibility issue, because the burden of proof is on Ms. Lynn to show that she's credible. And here we have a particular document, a distinct document in the record that constitutes a contradiction to what she says actually happened, not only in China, but happened at the airport interview. So this is a substantial evidence that the immigration judge can properly rely on to find that she's not credible. With respect to the finding of a frivolous asylum application, then I think the standard would be a little bit higher. The judge would have to actually find that the summary by the asylum officer was more reliable than her denial of what she said, and I think that was the basis here for the frivolous asylum application.
Has there ever been a case getting below these other points in which someone's opposition to the family planning policy has related to an individual as remote as this? You know, the wife of a cousin.
Yeah. Well, we do see these types of claims occasionally where somebody themselves, they are not themselves the victims, the alleged victims.
Well, sometimes it's a husband or...
I've also seen children of parents who apparently have experienced birth control measures, and the children, of course, don't directly experience it, but they, I guess, vicariously experience the harm. We've actually had a decision in the Ninth Circuit that has gone against us on that issue. But that, as far as that's the only one that I think there's actually been a finding where somebody is not the actual victim.
Mm-hmm.
If there are no further questions, I will rest on the briefs. Thank you.
That's fine. Thank you very much. And I'll let Mr. Ma. How much time does he have? 2 minutes.
Your Honor, the issue of the judge relied on the piece of paper. He was not relying on the interviewing officer because the officer did not appear in court to testify about the conversation. The judge relied on a piece of paper which was supposed to be signed by the petitioner and which the petitioner refused to sign. And even counsel was not sure whether how the interview should be conducted, how the conversation should be transcribed in at the border. But of course,
it is signed by Mr. Elipano, though. There's a signature here, Officer, United States, obviously, the old Immigration and Naturalization Service. So it's not just something that came out of a word processor.
I understand, but the officer's signature can certify the questions, but the officer cannot certify the answers because the petitioner was supposed to sign. And
Why not? I mean, you couldn't certify that this is a conversation I heard?
That person, I believe the live testimony of a person is much better than a piece of paper signed by someone.
Because but you have to argue it's conclusive. You can't just say it's better. I mean, we often like live testimony, but people are impeached all the time with prior inconsistent statements.
The reason that my client refused to sign the paper because the answers contained in the paper, in the document, were not representative of her answers to the questions. Of course, some biographic information that could reflect her answers, but some substantive questions she denied, and she even expressed her indignation as to how this could have been imposed on her. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you very much. Thank you to both counsel. We'll take the case under advisement.